Welcome to Beyond the Pages, a Bloom podcast where Bloom magazine comes alive. I am your host, Mari, and this podcast marks our exciting merger of my 60 Questions podcast and my Bloom podcast. It's a celebration of the workers' compensation community, the very heartbeat of it all, the people. In this podcast, we're going to cover it all. I will introduce you to the best doctors, best service providers, leaders, while engaging in our favorite discussions about wellness, growth, career, and so much more. I am determined to bring everything you love about Bloom into this podcast, so do not forget to subscribe. So welcome. Today we have a special guest with us, a good friend of mine. And can you tell us your name?
Yeah, my name is Drake Franklin.
Hey, Drake.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Happy New Year.
Likewise.
Mm-hmm. So Drake, our listeners are very niche. All our listeners that listen to us, they're most likely on the Bloom community. They're either an adjuster, a risk manager, or a nurse, right? Okay. So we want you to tell them what you do. I want them to know a little bit more about what you do with your company and how are you helping to make an impact in the workers' comp community.
Okay. So, I mean, the company that I work with is called AgeWave. The company's been around for about 43 years now. And I mean, it's one of the things that we specialize is in work comp. And of course, a couple other verticals, but work comp is definitely our biggest one. And our device is a electronic stim device that's actually used for, most people know it as chronic pain, because that's kind of one of the things that's always been known for. But what a lot of people don't really realize that, you know, whether it's the physicians, case managers, adjusters, they don't realize that it's actually very beneficial to use for post-op recovery. And what we're trying to do is what everybody's trying to do in the work comp industry and the doctors is to help get our workers back to work faster. I mean, that is what the goal is at the end of the day, and that's what we're trying to achieve. Because we know that everybody, you know, in the workforce, we want to get their workers back to work faster and keep that workforce going and everything. And of course, make it easier for their employees to get through the day, whether it's pain-free or whether it's whenever they have surgery, you know, get that recovery time faster and, you know, make it sure that they're able to get back to their active daily life, not just at work. So, you know, that's what we're trying to achieve in the work comp space.
That's awesome. But now I'm going to ask you a bunch of different questions because I got a lot of questions to ask. But so imagine that the person listening doesn't have a clue why is your product any different than any other product out there? Like, what makes you guys different? How are you, you know, just explain that first and we'll go down the
list. Yeah. So, when I say electric stim device, I mean, everybody's like, oh, okay. So it's a TENS unit.
Exactly.
So the funny thing, if, you know, we were sitting face to face and I had my device on me, you know, I would ask you, Mari, have you ever used it, a TENS unit? You know, most people have.
I haven't actually.
A lot of people have. Anybody that's like played sports or, you know, had gone to a chiropractor or anything like that, most people have used a electric stim device. So I always say, yeah, I can explain to you all day long the differences to it, but try it out.
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, if not 10 out of 10, as soon as you get about 5-10 minutes into use, they're like, yeah, this is not a TENS unit. It's much, much, much different in the aspect that it's going to get into your deep tissue musculoskeletal system. It is the only device also that actually has 4 FDA clearances that will provide you a electronic on-demand anesthesia for pain management. So that's something that's huge and very different, because when we're working with other TENS units, when people are prescribing, they don't have those clearances to be able to do that. Because it's just, it's just a sensory overload. You know, when you hit your elbow or your knee, you know, you do that rubbing sensation whenever you do it. It's the same thing with a TENS unit. It's just masking that pain on a temporary basis. So as soon as you take your hand away and stop rubbing, that pain's still going to be there. So it's only being effective while you're actually using the device. So with our device, not only is it going to be effective while you're using the device, but you can be pain-free for hours after using the device. Patients I've been treating over the past 2 years, I've seen patients that get pain relief for 4 to 5 hours. I have patients who will call me 2 days later and say, like, hey, I'm still pain free. You know, from the very first time we used it, you know, when we did the first treatment doing setup. And of course, it's going to vary patient to patient when it comes to that. But then the other aspect of it, like I mentioned with the post-op recovery, this is literally the only device that you can use 24 hours a day if you wanted to, because it's going to provide that lymphatic drainage and it's going to promote healthy blood flow. So it's going to help get rid of that swelling. So it's kind of restoring function at the same time while eliminating your pain. So when you're using your traditional TENS unit or other devices that are similar to it, they're not able to typically use for longer than 30 minutes at a time without causing muscle fatigue and burning out the muscle fibers. Because we run on such a low hertz that you can wear just for hours. And it's funny when I'm explaining that to some people, it's, you know, I ask them if they watch sports at all, like football or baseball, because we actually work with over 90 different pro sport teams. Like we work with, you know, we're based out of Florida. We work with every NFL team in Florida. And then we also work with every MLB team throughout the country. But this, you know, they use it. And if it's good enough for them, you know, when they have the accessibility to get anything they want, it should be good enough for your work comp employees to get them back to work faster. In that
aspect. Thank you for educating me on that. We talk a lot and I know you, and we do a lot of stuff together, but I really, and that's my fault. I haven't paid that much attention just because of course I have a billion things going on, but okay. Now I'm going to play, like, I'm going to put my marketing hat on and I'm going to put my doctor, not my doctor, I'm not a doctor, but like working on the doctor side. Or actually I have ADHD. So you see, I'm going to go back.
Oh, I do too.
It's crazy, but I'm going to go back to actually on the adjuster employer side, right? Because since I do work a lot with them, the first thing that they'll probably question is like cost, right? Like, okay, yeah. That sounds great. It's going to get my employee, but now am I going to have to pay twice? What? I know that that must come up a lot for you, right? So I want to use this opportunity to educate, right? To make sure, educate me, but also educate our listeners on that, because I know that that can probably be one of the most, I think, hot topic, right? Like in case of this. So please educate me so we can work together.
That is definitely one of the biggest hurdles that I come across on a day-to-day basis. And yeah, I definitely understand that. You know, I understand, you know, everybody wants to save money in that aspect. But when you break it all down, like if I'm working with somebody that, you know, let's say like an interventional pain doctor, for instance. Mm-hmm. When a patient gets to that level in an interventional pain, they could have that work comp injury for years, you know, longer than 6 months typically. Oh, yeah. So if you actually really, you know, break it down and you go through PT, you go through pain medications, you go through injections and everything that you're already doing and using to help get this patient better and, you know, help get that pain down, you've already paid for H-Wave. Yeah. If you'd actually done this earlier, you actually probably would have saved yourself money in the long term. You know, we've actually have statistics on it too, that, you know, patients who've been injured for, you know, a year to 2 years, we actually end up being 5 times cheaper than opioids, NSAIDs. And then of course, you know, when you're dealing with people that are doing injections or PRP, which they can only do a couple times a year, I mean, you do a year and a half worth of PRP, and you're still doing it after that. I mean, you've already paid for H-Wave at the year and a half marker, possibly even sooner. And then you add not just your PRP, but other medications, your physical therapy, you keep doing and everything else. You know, so it's just, how do you want to compare it? Like, because you can actually save money when you prescribe H-Wave on the long-term aspect, and get your patient, you know, your workers back to work faster, or you can continue to pay for all these different things, which you've already paid for H-Wave probably, you know, twice by then, or even, you know, 3 times. It just really depends on the aspect. But, you know, going back to the post-operative recovery time, if you actually were to prescribe this and approve this sooner around that time frame, you know, getting them on it as soon as they're, you know, become, you know, surgical, then you're actually going to save money in the long run on that aspect too, because it's going to help cut that recovery time in half, and it's going to get them patients back to work faster in that aspect. So it's just, you know, how do you want to compare it, really? I mean, because when you really break everything down, it can save people money in the long run.
Yeah, that makes sense. And thank you again for educating me on that. And on a physician's perspective, since you do work a lot with the doctors, how do they feel? I know you mentioned outcomes, which is great because that was going to be one of my questions. How do the doctors, what do they say about the product?
Oh, I mean, same thing that adjusters do. I mean, the difference between the adjusters and the doctors in this aspect is that the doctors will see it a lot of times firsthand. They'll see it in the clinic if I'm in there treating a patient, or they'll see it from a patient results, or they'll even put it on themselves when I'm doing an in-service to, you know, show the doctor. And they know the product is really good and it works really well, but they'll say the same thing. It's just so expensive. I don't want to hurt my relationships with my adjusters and everything else. So, you know, something that, you know, in California, which is where our base is everybody in work comp has to do a free trial for 30 days first. So something that I've kind of adopted a little bit more is being able to provide that as well. So like, okay, I want to give the patient, the adjuster, the doctor a safe space to be able to see if this is actually a beneficial product that's actually going to help their patient in the long run and worth that supposable lot of money that it costs. So I always try to get people to get set up on that 30-day trial, make sure this works, make sure it benefits the patient, make sure that they're getting better, making their active daily life. And when doing so, I always have the patient fill out an outcome report too, to make sure that it is actually working for the patient. So you're usually around that 20 to 25 day range, I have that outcome report in hand. I provide it to the provider when they do that 30-day follow-up. And now we have evidential proof that it's worked for the patient, and they're able to dictate that, and the doctor's able to see it too. So now we have all the backing to say, hey, it's worked for your patient, or, you know, it hasn't worked for your patient. If it doesn't work for your patient, hey, you didn't lose anything. There's no downside to it because
it's free.
You know, that first 30 days is free pretty much. There's no fine print of that. I mean, you know, that's the other thing too about it is like everything. Oh, what's the fine print? There's no fine print.
People are free. Nothing. But exactly. No, I didn't know that, Drake. Like, I think that is excellent. It's like, that's a big wow. Like, I mean, that's something that listeners, please pay attention to that, because no one really gives anything for free, and you're giving them this opportunity to try the product, to let them see that it is working. I think that's something that a lot more education needs to be shared among our community on that particular opportunity. There are, I know from experience, you have the employers who are very like, give me the best for my employees. I want to get them back to work. Give me whatever I need now. And they're very proactive. And then unfortunately you do have the other employers who are just looking at cost. And then they're just like, no, they'll be fine with a tense unit. It's okay. And they don't realize it. But I understand. And I think it needs to be more spoken about and educated to our communities so that they know that a product like this is out there that can help their injured workers get back to work faster. So I definitely appreciate you sharing and even me learning, even though I should have known this more. Yes, tell me.
Here's another thing that I like to kind of throw out there too with this is when you're comparing, you know, the prices and everything, you know, everybody says you pay for what you get. So a lot of a comparison I always kind of like to play around in is, I mean, a lot of people know cars and, you know, can kind of compare cars and how they are. And this is no knock to anybody who's ever drove a Pinto or, you know, a younger person who's drove a Ford Focus or whatever. But when you're comparing your TENS units to H-Wave, it's like comparing a Ferrari to a Ford Pinto or a Ferrari to a Ford Focus. They're similar, yes, because they're electric stim or they're cars that drive down the road. Performance side, we all know a Ferrari on a performance side compared to a Ford Pinto or a Ford Focus are two totally different things and what they're capable of doing.
Right, you can't compare.
So you pay for what you get.
Yeah.
So, and there's been, I can't tell you like how many different times I've put a unit on a patient or even, you know, at an in-service with a doctor's office where patients or the, you know, clinicians have had a TENS unit, tried a TENS unit at home. They try this, they're like, yeah, no, this is not a TENS unit. I've literally had a patient that had a TENS unit sitting right there on his table while I'm treating him, and got done with the treatment and he literally picked it up, threw it in the trash, and was like, yeah, I don't need this anymore. there's a huge difference between the two, and you'll feel it within the first 5 to 10 minutes when you're actually using the device.
Yeah, I think that really goes down to outcomes, right? And being educated. I have heard, I put different hats on here on the marketing side from both sides. I have heard, and not on your product particularly, but similar, right? I've heard hasn't made no difference. I don't see any difference in my patient. That's not true. So I'm not one to speak on that, obviously. I listen, right? And I always share, take the feedback. And if it's something that gets presented to me, because since I do work with the physicians, I do get sometimes where I'll have a nurse or an adjuster reach out to me and say, hey, your doctor's prescribing this and this costs X amount, And then I'll say, okay, let me find out. Let me get you on. I don't know why the doctor's doing that. Let's talk to him and see what's the reason. If it's medically necessary, then I'll have him explain that. But yeah. In some cases, even before we get to that, I've had nurses tell me, well, the patient has not even seen any. They're already saying no, like in their mind, they're already knocking it down. There's no solution. Yeah. It is not going to work without even giving it an opportunity, because it's just kind of, it's had that, it costs too much money and we need to save money. And I think, but I have seen a turnaround too, where there's more focus on patient care now than there was a couple years ago, which I love. Yeah. That because, being working with physicians, my physicians care about their injured workers. They, yes, cost is important, but to them, care is more important, right? They want to provide the best. So it is a very controversial topic. Whoever, when they're listening to us and be like, yeah, no, but I honestly think we need to educate more on this. I'm not the expert you are, but our listeners need to hear more of this thing. Okay.
I'm glad we were able to do this, because this is something that I've, look forward to doing, because I definitely want to be able to sit down with as many adjusters, case managers.
I think next time I'm going to bring you back and we're going to pull a nurse, pull in a doctor, maybe even a doctor, and have a discussion on this and see, what comes out of it, right? Because I think it is a very important topic. It is patient care, and that's the number one thing, right? How are we going to get these workers back to work? And
that's what we're all here for, right?
All right, that's what we're here for. So at least talk about it, even if you don't agree, right? Because we can disagree to disagree. But yeah. I think it's a very important topic, and I'm going to hold you up to that. I'm going to invite you to that.
That's why I enjoy and love my job, is just because the fact that
you're making a difference.
Yeah, I'm making a difference because, my background, I actually do come from family that's all medical. My dad's a doctor, my mom's a nurse. Wow. And helping people is always something I've always enjoyed.
In your blood, it's in your DNA.
I have ADHD like you do, way too bad. And going to school and doing med school or anything like that was not in the cards for me. I did different routes, and I was a personal trainer as well for 11 years. So helping people and making a difference is always something I've always loved doing and want to be able to do, and helping people in general. So, this was up my alley, because, it really does. You help people with their pain. And we work a lot with veterans, and we have contracts with the VA because our company is actually veteran owned and operated. I get the opportunity to work with a ton of veterans and seeing how they are people that have been in pain for 10 years and able to actually get them pain relief is awesome. But we're helping with the opioid crisis too.
You're helping with that.
I just looked at one of my patient outcome reports a little while ago on a post-op rotator cuff, 15 days post-op, no swelling, no bruising, 100%, no medication, able to sleep better. And, sleep is a big thing when you're in your recovery process. So with anything, you need to be able to sleep and rest your body, because it's going to, And so this, typically if anybody's had shoulder pain or having to have shoulder surgery, you can't sleep, you can't move your arm or anything. And this patient, that's one of the things he literally wrote down, is I'm able to sleep, and I was not able to sleep beforehand. I'm actually able to get through tonight, and I'm thankful to have this device.
Yeah.
Because he's actually able now to sleep through the night.
Right. You're definitely making a difference. I love everything. And I'm so glad we did this. I know it took forever. We've been planning this podcast for like, I want to say a year, but close to it. But I'm so glad we did it. Yeah. And now we're going to get to some fun stuff because we already talked a lot. I think everyone knows what you do and how you help people. But I don't think they know you personally. So we want to get to know you a little bit more. So can you tell me where you grew up?
So I was actually a military brat a little bit. So I kind of moved on a little bit of everywhere. You know, my biological father was in the Air Force. So home is North Carolina. Okay. That's where I was born, probably spent majority of my life. And that's where all my family still pretty much lives. But, you know, I went from North Carolina to New Mexico to Japan. Wow. Mom remarried, went to South. I've gone up and down the East Coast, but went to South Carolina, Georgia, North Carolina, Florida, like kind of all over in those areas. So, but yeah,
that's, I mean, good.
Home is definitely North Carolina.
That's awesome. Can you tell us something about you that, you know, you want to share, obviously, that people might not know? Some of the people that we're going to tell that know you that, hey, go listen to Dre, that they might not know about you, but you want to share now.
Let's see.
A fun fact.
Well, I'll give you a fun fact that only one of my hobbies and that I really enjoy doing, a couple, and then something that a lot of people don't know and would always agree with when I tell them this. But I'm an avid scuba diver, love to be in the water, scuba diving. And I actually was a woodworker and used to build custom cabinets. So I love doing stuff with my hands and manual labor, kind of stuff like that. You know, painting, I love to paint. Not like artistry, but like on the walls or stuff like that. It's like a decompressing thing for me. I just throw in the headphones, but it's really—
I'm gonna have to call you over here. Ozzy has some stuff that he hasn't painted. I'm gonna have to call you over here.
Hey, I love it. It's just one of those things, like, you don't have to think about, like, you just paint, you know, put in headphones and zone out. It's just something I really enjoy doing. But another fun fact that people, when I say this, they're like, there's no way. And you're in sales, like, Howard, I'm actually shy.
Me too.
Very shy.
I wouldn't believe that of you, Drake, though.
Yeah, I'm actually a very shy person. So,
that's hard to
know. Yeah, a lot of people don't. Yeah, but my friends and people who've known me for a really long time can, you know, they would tell you, there's moments where he's actually a very shy person. Like, I'm an extrovert introvert kind of person at times. So just, it really depends on the scenario and situation.
I relate with you on that because I'm the same. Like, I can't believe I'm in marketing, because if I wasn't working, I'm completely turned off and I don't talk to anybody. It's like I'm super shy, and so I get it.
I mean, I love building relationships with people, and just, you know, getting to know people. But I also, like,
it gets you out.
You put me in a big crowd of people, I'm probably going to be one of those people. Yeah, I'll say hello and everything and socialize. But at the same time, I'm literally going to sit back and kind of take everything in. And
so I can't put you on stage at the retreat and make you talk.
I got a C in public speaking, if that tells you anything.
I'm worth. I didn't even take public speaking. Oh no. So we've gotten to know some fun facts about you. Definitely very interesting. Can you tell me something that you've always wanted to do, but maybe you've just been scared, or maybe there's nothing, you've tried everything?
To be honest with you, there's not much I wouldn't try. My motto is, you live once, so live it fully. Because I mean, you're never going to get this experience again to live any kind of life that you have. So why not just be open and try it, you know, whatever you can, like foods or ventures, you know, things like that. Just try it. I mean, if you like it, try it again. But if you don't, hey, at least you say you tried it. But I mean, one thing that I just have never been, I guess, fortunate enough to be able to have the ability to do is something you just did recently, is travel. Like, I've never really traveled around the world. And there's, I
have lived around the world. You've lived
traveled. Well, I was too young to remember that. I don't remember any of that. But yeah, I mean, that's just, I have plenty of places that I want to go.
All right. So when is that changing? Because that can't stay like that. The next time I talk to you, you need to tell me where you're going. Because
that's definitely the goal. Listen, yeah, that's definitely the goal. I mean, my top
places are like,
I want to go to Thailand.
Oh, I love that. I haven't been.
Yeah, well, Thailand's one of those ones that is on the top. I love elephants, so I want to go to Thailand and play with elephants. And stuff.
I want to go to Thailand too, but that's such a long flight. I'll have to mentally prepare for that one, but you have to travel. I'm going to make sure you travel. Yeah, you need to make that happen.
I want to go back to Japan as an adult this time. One of my favorite foods has always been sushi. Granted, I'm pretty much vegan, but you know, I will enjoy seafood here and there, especially if I catch it. I mean, being a scuba diver, that's the only time I'll really do it. But so every now and then I'm more on the pescatarian side, but mostly, you know, I stay a vegan diet, you know.
Good for you. Blue Zone. Have you watched it?
I haven't, but I just watched the You Are What You Eat.
Oh, love that one. I just wrote a whole article on this, How to Make to 100. You need to read it on Blue Magazine. That's like
I did watch this, actually. Yes.
So good.
Yeah, that was really good.
And the Zac Efron one, too. Forgot the name of the Zac Efron, but he did
a whole I did. I did see some of those as well. Yeah, I didn't finish.
I'm gonna give you my article on that because I love that. Yeah, we are what we eat.
I think a lot of people need to actually watch that more, just so they can actually see like how it's really changing our ozone and how it's really affecting our daily lives. And for people who have younger children and how it's going to affect their lives moving forward.
Absolutely.
Like, I think a lot of people actually probably need to open their eyes a little bit more on that.
Yeah, I just saw another documentary and I don't remember the name, of course, because I have a ADHD problem here, but yeah. We'll text it to you later when I look it up, but it is really, really good. And it talks about all that, you know, and it shows like our food industry.
Oh yeah, it's crazy.
That is so scary, like, ugh. Yeah. All right. We won't go there because we can go down a rabbit hole and then the podcast will be a whole 2-hour one. But now we're going to get to like our little fun session because I'd love for our listeners to get to know you a little bit more better. And then I'm going to ask you one of the main questions I ask everybody, but we'll leave that to the end. So this one will be our rapid session, which is our fun session. It's coffee, tea, or soda?
Coffee.
Day or night person?
Ooh, that's hard because... that's a hard one for me. I can go either or, really, to be honest with you, because I'm up every morning at 4:30 because I'm in the gym at 5, but I can also stay up to 1 o'clock in the night if I'm out and about doing stuff. So I can go either or on that.
Yeah, well, that's you. Dog or cat?
Dog.
Night out or night in?
I love being out and about. You know, you're at home a lot of the times already, so I do like having a night out, especially when it's dealing with like live music.
Oh, okay. Indoors or outdoors?
Always outdoors.
Beach or mountains?
Beach. That's why I'm here.
Chocolate or vanilla?
I would have to go... chocolate with like sea salt, some dark chocolate with sea salt. Yeah.
Text or phone call?
It really depends. If it's a quick little question that you can quickly answer with a text, I'm not gonna, you know, bug somebody when I can respond with like a 2-word answer, you know.
Football or basketball?
Football. I am not a basketball fan or player, so too short for that.
Cake or pie?
Ooh. My mom's strawberry cake or a key lime pie, one of the two.
All right, let's see, beer or wine?
I'm gluten intolerant, so I'd have to say with wine.
With wine, all right. So that's it on our rapid, that is awesome. Thank you for that. I always love doing that. Oh, I forgot to ask you one last one, which is a controversial one.
Okay.
Tough one. Pineapple on your pizza?
Yes.
Really? I think you're the first person in the history of this podcast that says yes. I actually like it. It's not my, I usually just eat cheese, but I mean, it's not like that gross.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of hot things too. So like, I like to do like pineapple and jalapeno. So I'm a little strange when it comes to that, I guess.
All right, so here's the question that I like to ask everyone. And normally I do ask this in the beginning, but we left it for last here. How did you get into the workers' comp industry?
Honestly, it's just when I got hired with H-Wave, I mean, that's how I got into it. It's just being part of the H-Wave team. I was doing something beforehand and I needed to, you know, move away from that job just because of the fact of, you know, I ended up having a daughter and needed to be home more because that job actually took me around the country. I was flying all the time. So I was not home as much and, you know, I want to be present for her. And I didn't want to be away. So I started looking, you know, and then found the job and read the description. And I was like, man, this is really kind of like right up my alley. You know, I mean, I'm 39, I'll be 40 in April. And I've done different types of sales since I was 18, whether it's retail, telecommunication, business. I've done medical also in the past before. And then, you know, so just the industry I've been in it. And, you know, I was a athletic trainer back in high school too, and being a personal trainer as well in running my own business. I, you know, saw the job description, looked up H-Wave, what it did, what it was. And it's like, yeah, right up. This is right up my alley of what I want to do. So I was like, I had to apply and I just got lucky with it.
You know, we are lucky to have you. We're glad that you said yes. And we're glad that you're part of the industry because you are making a big difference. And it's been really nice to have you, Drake, on this podcast. I know, again, I said it, but it took forever, but I'm glad we did it because I got to learn a little bit more, even though I talk to you all the time and we do stuff together. But again, I didn't know some of the things like the 30-day program, which I think is really something that we need to tell more and talk about more when we're doing stuff.
Like, what do you have to lose, you know?
You know, nothing. I also want to ask you, so for our listeners, our nurses, adjusters, employers, and maybe a risk manager, like, oh, I want to learn more. How do they, what is the best method of connecting with you? How do they find you? I'll share, you know, in detail in our notes in the description, but if you want to just share what's kind of like your method of getting connected, or actually, even better, answer that question, but also answer how do you make a referral? Or am I wrong? You see, because I don't know too much. I think the doctor has to prescribe it and then they have to approve it. So just explain that part a little bit before we go.
Yeah, I mean, so the referral side of it, I mean, it, you know, considering Florida is kind of pushed by the, you know, case managers and adjusters, I mean, if they feel like they want to try this out on a patient, because I mean, I have worked with a couple people that I know that are in the Gen X and Gallagher Bassett, you know, carriers, and you know, they've suggested it and they've told me that, hey, you know, I got a patient that, you know, I want to try out on this. So they've done one of two things where they either contacted the doctor, say, hey, I got a guy coming in and I want you to try this out on this patient, or they contact me and just say, hey, this is the doctor, this is the patient, go talk to them and tell them that you spoke to me and get a referral, I want them to try it out. So typically, it always works better when it's actually coming from the adjuster to the doctor versus, you know, the adjuster telling me and then going to the doctor about it, because then the doctor's like, oh, yeah, OK, sure, whatever. But if it's a doctor I know and I already work with and have a good relationship with, then it's really easy to do that. But yeah, I mean, if an adjuster has a patient that they just want to try it out on, then my suggestion would always be contact a provider and then contact me.
Contact you, kind of make that recommendation. You see, I didn't know that. I thought you, and that's why like my question's kind of like, but I, in my mind, it was like the physician has to prescribe it, but it makes sense. Yeah. The nurse knows about your product because she maybe had it another patient at another doctor who tried it out and saw the outcomes and the results. They might not know that they can do that. You know, this might be something like, oh, I didn't know that, because I usually you have to have a script. So that is very good information. I'm glad you mentioned that, and take note, guys, if you're listening, because if you think the product is good, you want to go ahead and contact Drake or the doctor recommended. So I'll let you finish off on how they can get in contact with you.
Yeah, I mean, and real quick, just to kind of go back on that, is I know with previous situations and people who actually knew H-Wave, I think what it was is a lot of people were pushing for purchase. So I guess a lot of people thought, you know, didn't know about that 30 day. And I kind of adopted that as I became a rep here and kind of changed that. So it's been a lot easier for people to kind of say, okay, let's just try it out. So, you know, a lot of adjusters probably just have it in their mindset that, oh, it's a purchase, it's going to be too much. And I know, like, when I was getting denials, that's what the denials are saying is it hasn't been proven that a 30 day trial would even be beneficial for the patient. So that's why I said, okay, I'm going to just do that for now on the 30 day trial.
Okay. But, good point to make there, because if you've worked, if someone is listening and they've worked with H-Wave before, then they'll be like, well, no, that's not true. So thank you for pointing that out, because I think that's super important. And it is something that you've implemented. So it is new. It's new here.
And several carriers that we work with, we actually now have worked with throughout the country that we've actually built like contracts with and actually pricing agreements with. So it's a lot easier for some of those carriers that just approve it because they do know the product.
That's also a good point that you said, because are you willing to do those types of contracts with the carriers and the employers listening?
Yeah, 100%. Like, if anybody wants to do that, then they can definitely reach out to me and we can definitely, I can put them in the right direction of the person who actually works at us. We have a department of two people who travel the country, and that's what they literally do. And they go meet with the headquarters of the carriers or the employers to just, you know, see if it would be beneficial for their patients or their employees.
Well, Drake, you've really definitely, I think this has been very informative. Thank you so much for taking your afternoon to talk to me and share more about you. I was going to ask you, is there anything we missed? Anything that we want to say before we end this?
No, I definitely greatly appreciate the opportunity to be on here. If anybody wants to reach out, they can do LinkedIn. I mean, you have my cell phone number and email if you want to post it out for people to use that as well. I mean, I welcome any kind of conversation and entertain that, because I would definitely want to educate more and more people, especially not just on the aspect of using it for the chronic pain aspect, but now doing it more for the post-op recovery to help their patients, like get H-Wave on sooner, faster. Because long-term it is going to save, you know, the work comp carrier money, and it's also going to help them get back to work faster, which is what everybody's trying to achieve. So,
collective goal. Yes, I will definitely put Drake's information on the show notes, so you'll be able to contact him. You can connect to him on LinkedIn. I was going to say Facebook, LinkedIn, and he comes a lot to our events, so you can come meet him live. So that would be one of the ways to meet. But thank you, Drake, again for being here. I think it's been very good to have you, and I'm so glad. And I definitely. And putting you on the spot, I am bringing you back, and we're going to bring a doctor, we're going to bring a nurse, and we're going to bring an adjuster and whoever wants to come. We're going to have this discussion live.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And if anybody ever sees me out at any of these events, I always have a unit on me. Ask to use it. I'll throw it on you.
I've been having shoulder pain, so next time.
I got you.
All right. Awesome. Thank you, Drake. That's a wrap for today's episode of Beyond the Pages. Thank you for joining us and being part of our community. I hope you've enjoyed today's discussion and gained some valuable insight. Remember, we're here to inspire, inform, and connect. If you have any questions, comments, or topics you would like us to explore in future episodes, please reach out. We would love to hear from you.